All right, Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper's here. This is the Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman podcast in its 10th year. Ira's in his 50th year. It's out of control. Sage, we're presented by Bill Curry Ford. Everybody has to understand that Bill Curry Ford is a family-owned dealership, the Curry family.
Deep roots in the community. Deep.
65 years serving the community. When you talk about deep roots, they have all kinds of active charities, dozens of them in the community that they contribute to, and they've got a food drive at the dealership now, other drives, charity drives. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Now, it's a great time to buy a vehicle. 0% financing, zero money down, zero payments for 90 days. That means you're not paying a nickel till next year. Those things are available now at Bill Curry Ford and Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's got all these great leases for no money down. And those are Ford promotions. They're going to end on the lease deals. So a no money down lease deal, and they've got all the good ones. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com. Ask Sean for the Ira Kaufman discount. That applies to everything. You can find Sean on the website. And that's how you do it.
Bill, and they got quite an inventory.
It's over, I think, 660 vehicles. They got the number right there on the website, IraBillCurryFord.com. Sage, you're going to your Springsteen movie Friday. Popcorn, soda, milk duds.
Might be chuckles. I'm on a diet.
I didn't know.
Maybe popcorn without butter, maybe.
No butter popcorn, yeah.
You know, butter's like $15, Lee, at the movies. Lee hasn't been to a movie theater in 9 years.
Actually, once. In about 9 years.
Seriously. Yeah, there you go. Mission Impossible?
No, what was that one about the Munich Olympic thing?
September 5th?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
The only thing I know for sure is Sunday at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be in front of my set and talking to Lee on the phone. Do you have at the gumbo shop? What's going on? What kind of food they have in the press box? And then I got a visit to the urologist. So I got a hell of a weekend. I got a hell of a weekend planned. Pray for me, Lee.
Wait a minute.
Pray for me.
I've never heard of a urologist open on the weekend, so this might be something that you're not planning on.
Well, he's got a dime store. It's out in the street, you know, in front of the mall.
You got a
urologist. You pee in a cup and he processes it right there.
Oof. Oh. All right, Ira. Yeah, you brought everybody down here listening with that. But good luck with all your spots.
Bucks need to win this game. Bucks should win this game.
Any impressions from one buck this week when you were out there that we need to know?
Yeah, they're hacked off, as they should be. And it goes with the Lee's prediction that you're going to hear in this podcast. But they're pissed off, and Lee compared it to the Lions coming off the Chiefs game. I think there's a little truth to that. They're hacked off. And an angry Bucks team is a dangerous Bucks
What are they
team.
Angry about?
About the way they played Monday night. They don't think they gave themselves a chance. They don't think they were ready to play at the start. We've seen that before, Lee. We saw it in the Philly game, the two games they've lost. They weren't ready to play at the start. You know, I noticed right away, we haven't even mentioned this, but I'll go off on this. Did you notice right in the beginning of the game they had some stupid penalties? Right off the bat, on a kickoff return, you know, a nice kickoff return, all
back,
of a sudden
call
it's
back,
called
yep.
back. And then, like, the first series they had, illegal procedure or something. That's like a tip-off. Like, they're not sharp.
Yeah.
And they weren't sharp. And they paid the price.
When you look back at that game, you know, we've talked about it already on your podcast, but when you look back at that game, what do you think? Is that going to be a turning point for the Lions? Are we going to realize that the Lions are the mauling beasts that we saw? Or are they going to come back down to earth? Because I have a feeling that Lions team is just not as good as the one we saw.
They're not great, Lee. They're good. The defense, I think it's a little better than average, but it's a hell of an offense. I mean, Gibbs makes the whole thing. I always talk about Bucky Irving, I think, is the catalyst for the Buck offense, and I think Gibbs serves that purpose, and I think Gibbs is a little better than Irving at this point. A little better.
The way Hutchinson and McNeil played, and you think it's a ordinary defense? Wow. High standards.
They had a good plan for the Bucks.
An excellent plan.
They have a good plan for the Bucks. You know, are the Lions going to win 15 games again? No, they're not. They're going to win 12. They're still a good team, Lee.
Well, they looked awful good the other night.
Sage, little Jahmyr Gibbs trivia, you know, he's only missed two games.
That bothers me because I got
he's
David
durable.
Montgomery and I took him. I said, if Gibbs gets hurt, I got the Lions' number one running back. Meanwhile, he's getting three carries a game. And I don't blame him because Ira, Gibbs is a lot better than
your
Montgomery.
Your fantasy team, it's got troubles. It's got troubles.
I think I choked on draft day. I choked. Jason Light doesn't choke on draft day. I choked.
You can still make a comeback, Ira.
If you make a trade with me.
Lee, you saw a pissed off Bucks team in the locker room?
I did.
Was your opinion?
I did. You can see it in Tristan Wirfs' eyes. You can see it. He almost said something like about running the ball. Let us win the game. Let us take over. Which tells me he wants to beat someone physically, pound them. That's what that tells me. But yeah, they're hacked off.
Well, I'm just hoping that we get our MVP quarterback back in the game. You know, everybody's entitled to an off game. It was an off game for Mayfield watching it again, and a lot of reasons for that. But I have a feeling that Ibuka is going to be healthier than I think you think, but we'll talk about that
later.
You know,
the Saints are a team, Steve, that could be active sellers at the deadline. Other teams are looking at the Saints roster, and they might try to pluck a couple of guys.
Yeah, we'll talk about what the Bucs should be doing. But I don't expect the Saints to be dealing with the Bucs. Chris Olave is not landing in our lap.
And, DeMario Davis could be available.
Yeah, he would be a nice catch
to
help fill in, but that's not going to happen either. So the Saints, we don't want to trade with them. We hate them. Baker Mayfield hates them. He admitted that again.
We love our listeners, which is always fun.
But we don't hate anybody, Sage.
What's the spread on this game?
Bucs are given 3.5 to the lowly Saints.
I think that's disrespect. I mean, they're 1-6, Lee. They're 1-6. I don't care how competitive they are. They're 1-6. That's not a good football team.
I read a stat today from Warren Sharp's outfit. Basically, if you don't turn the ball over, you score on the Saints. They're like the fourth worst team giving up points per drive.
It's got to be a reflection on the Buck injury list. That's all it
That's
is.
That's my guess.
That's
yeah.
all it is, Steve.
Well, or they want more bettors. You know Vegas is.
Possible.
They want more bettors.
What are you, Chauncey Billups over there?
Is that hilarious?
Yeah.
Rigged poker tables.
All right, Sage, look, a big game. The Bucs can get to 6-2. Saints are 1-6. And, you know, the Saints, you've said it, you're joking around, but they have been competitive. You know, I've watched these games. They're playing legitimate defense. And you know what? Spencer Rattler, not a good quarterback. The Bucs should win just on the quarterback battle alone. But Rattler doesn't turn the ball over. 4 interceptions this year.
And he can run, right?
He can run. And he's getting a little bit better. They're moving the ball a little bit better. Rankings, you know, again, you look at the Saints, but their passing attack, 25th in the league with yards per attempt. So they're not the rock bottom. They're not the dregs
of
society.
They got their receivers back. They had been hurt. So that makes a difference.
So
Olave's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an important game for the Bucs, and I don't think they'll take them lightly, only because last year the Bucs trailed at home in the fourth quarter in Week 18 to the Saints in a must-win game. Still one of the most stunning realities of last
but
year.
But then they kicked their ass in New Orleans?
They did. They clobbered them. That was the big hurricane game. The Bucs headed out of town and beat the crap out of them.
Wasn't that close at the half?
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bucs ended
in the third
up,
quarter, they went bananas.
Ended up hanging 50 on them. They went nuts. So it's one of these rivalry games, Ira. You know how it goes. But what I got to ask you is, look, I've been reflecting and thinking all week about Mike Evans and what happened to him. You know, I can't get it out of my head. The vision of him prone on the turf.
But you're not second-guessing the medical staff.
I'm not second-guessing
anything.
It wasn't
a hamstring.
I'm wondering, how are the Bucs going to survive and win a Super Bowl without Mike Evans unless they make some sort of move?
I think they might have to make a move, Lee. I've been thinking about it.
Steve,
I've been so focused on the pass rush that I'm thinking, put in a plug-and-play wide receiver. Or if one of these sorry teams, go get him.
Well, I did not read Steve's article, but I saw it, and I think he was referring to Jacoby Myers of the Las Vegas Raiders, who said this week he wants a trade.
Yeah, his name's mentioned a lot as a potential trade day guy. There's got to be some other guys out there. I'm not asking for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, Steve brought up something interesting I got to ask him about. So you don't think the Bucs can make the playoffs without Evans?
No, I don't think they can win a Super Bowl unless they improve their receiving core.
Okay,
because I don't believe Evans is going to be the same guy when he comes back.
Okay, that's why I don't
Chris Godwin to expect anything of him is ridiculous this year.
And you don't want the Bucs to be sitting with the number 4 seed. You want to
no,
aim higher.
Look, whatever seed they have, they have. But I'm just talking about winning those tough games without a superstar receiver. Very, very difficult to do. Now, Ibuka, I'm all in the Ibuka camp. But Jason Light and this whole organization, which has invested more money in the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball, they decided way back when in the in the cone of silence with Team Glazer at One Buck Palace. You know what? We need Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all these guys at receiver, and we need to go draft Ibuka, and then we can win a Super Bowl. And you can't just take Mike Evans out of that equation, Chris Godwin out of that equation, McMillan out of that equation, and then just say, no big deal, we got it.
Lee, a big part of this discussion is the hazy nature of the Godwin and McMillan injuries. I mean, they're they don't know.
McMillan's not hazy. I don't think they know about Godwin.
Well, why isn't McMillan hazy? When's he coming back? Is he coming back?
We don't know because it's a neck injury.
It's
they're
hazy.
Not going to score.
Huh? It's hazy.
Yeah.
It's hazy.
That, to me, is not hazy. Hazy is Godwin. You know, if the guy is, well, let's put it this way. I was talking to Sean Sullivan about this, and Sean was very frustrated, angry at me because I didn't have a very specific itinerary when these guys are going to come back, which the Bucs aren't. What? No NFL team is going to do that. Anyway, the thing you got to remember about Godwin and Bucky Irving, they're not on the IR, so they think they can come back fairly quick. Otherwise, they'd be on the IR. I said, so that's the good thing. I said, McMillan, they're erring on the side of caution because this is a neck injury. He's still in a brace. He's still in a brace. Bowl said that this week. He's still in a brace. So that tells me the fact the guy's in a neck brace, he's not close to coming back. Like you're talking after Thanksgiving.
It's starting to look like a lost season for Godwin. That's what it's looking
it's
like.
It's starting to look
starting
that way.
It's starting to smell that way because this is a major setback. You know, again, the Bucs haven't given a lot of details, but he's got a fibula injury.
And they're invested in him.
Allegedly is different than the fibula tied to his ankle injury. Whatever. He can't practice, and he played two games, didn't play very well. And he's coming off
26 yards, something like that?
Yeah, he dropped a couple of balls. He's coming off a major injury to begin with. What can you really expect from the guy when we're talking about can he be an impact player on a Super Bowl run?
It's amazing because a couple of months ago we were talking about wide receivers, the deepest position on the team.
Now
and look what's happened.
It's still deep. It's just not Super Bowl worthy, I don't think.
Ira, this begs the question. Do you think Jason Light is having buyer's remorse, bringing Godwin back?
Well, how can you foretell what's going to happen? He didn't know Ekbuku was going to be this good. Maybe a smidgen, but he means so much to the locker room, to the community. I think that was a factor. If he wasn't that involved, it would be easier to part ways with him. I'm kind of with Steve a little bit. I'm looking at the next 8 weeks, 10 weeks without Evans. I don't know that they could beat Carolina twice at this point.
Wow.
With this wide receiver group. And, Steve, here's something we didn't mention. In terms of picking up a receiver, Evans might not be back next year. That's another thing you got to think
correct.
About.
Yep.
That's
yep.
another thing you got to think
I
about.
I think he will be. You know, unless
he doesn't want to go out this
I
way.
I don't know. With the end of the streak, I think that could be
you
a big
factor.
Think
he wants to go out like this with an injury? And I could see if he ripped his hamstring off the bone and was like, you know
well,
what?
What if he comes back at the end of the year and they win one playoff game and they get eliminated? And that could be it for Mike Evans. I mean, that could be it.
Could be.
Man, I just don't.
You don't think the end of the streak is a factor in his mind?
I'm sure it is a factor. I don't know what direction it is, but.
Well, he's not ready to start another 11-year streak at his age.
What I'm saying is, I don't know if. Now, keep in mind, this is why I say this. He's going to be going through this 10, 11, 9 weeks of rehab, busting his ass to get back for the playoffs. Are we really to believe that he's going to grind to get in football shape to come back for the playoffs and maybe play one game and say, well, that's it?
That's fair.
That doesn't make sense from a competitor standpoint.
Lee, he is getting hurt a lot. Lee, he's
oh, I agree. And I think that's a sign that Father Time is tapping on his shoulder. You know, older guys break down a lot easier. Eileen of Channel 8, she said, someone brought this question up to her on her TikTok.
Who's she?
Eileen
you
Nachuk?
Know Eileen.
Nachuk. Eileen Nachuk.
I just said that to troll him over there.
He knows. Ira knows.
What'd she say?
Well, she said, you know, she played volleyball in college. I know it's not football, but she said these athletes, the NFL people, they're wired different. They're like racehorses. They're so competitive that what Steve's saying, Evans probably won't want to go out like that. He's too competitive. No, I can't have myself remembered as being dragged off the field when I couldn't even remember it because I was dinged up, blown shoulder, concussed. I want to go out of my terms. And that backs up what Steve's saying.
Especially just that those 2.5 months of getting back, whatever that looks like, his legs are going to feel so fresh. It's one thing if you're rehabbing a knee and you're like, do I want to go through this? I'm having trouble walking. Rondi Barber talked about on his WFLA show, Rondi Barber broke his collarbone. I think he said in high school or college. I don't remember. But he said it was 2 weeks of incredible pain Couldn't sleep well. He say he speculated that maybe the drugs today
are a little better than
they were then. But he said it was, the sleep was horrible for 2 weeks, and then it was okay. He was able to start working to get back. Jacoby Myers, Ira, you mentioned him. Lee knows that I wrote it up. He's such a Jason Light guy. Undrafted receiver.
Overachiever?
A huge overachiever. He was with the Belichick's. Always had a different quarterback in New England. Started with Tom Brady. Brady threw him like 30 balls as a rookie. And then Brady came to the Bucs, and then they had their Cam Newton,
carousel.
Mac Jones, and then he gets to the Raiders, and every year they got a different quarterback. Last year, catches 80-something balls, 1,000 yards. He's finishing this year a three-year, $33 million contract. He's durable. If the Bucs picked him up midseason, they'd owe him half his salary.
Not a speed demon, right?
But he's a legitimate number one receiver. Not a great one, but he is a legitimate one. And, I mean, if Baker Mayfield is really having an MVP kind of season, don't you want to just load him up with weapons? I mean, if you really have what you think is the best quarterback in the league, you can't just say, well, we'll figure it out with Cam Johnson. And it doesn't make sense.
You took the words of my mouth. You trust Jacoby Myers, then you trust Cam Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's one little extra wrinkle to it, Lee. Maybe it's not enough to persuade Light to stand pat, but if you can get Irving back on the damn field.
That would help.
If you can get Irving back, Steve, you might be able to get by with this receiving core. I think he opens
fair
up
point.
A lot of things.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
But to your point, Jacoby Myers could fit in very nicely.
Well, get by. Does that mean win a Super Bowl? I'm here to win a Super Bowl. I think everybody listening is here to win a Super Bowl. Lee, you here to win a
of
Super
course.
Bowl?
Of course. Now, just to throw in a little.
They miss Irving a ton. Miss him a ton.
Oh, sure they do. Just to throw a little syrup on top of the pancakes here about Myers. Myers said within the last week, I guess he had said he wanted to be traded. And after Geno Hayes came back, and they said, hey, you still want to be traded? Oh, yeah.
Geno Smith.
I always say Geno Hayes about this
By
guy.
The way, did you see what the Raiders did last week?
Zero.
They had three first downs.
They got shut out.
Three. You know how many plays they ran? 30. I've never seen that before.
Tom Brady might have to give up his broadcasting
I've never seen 30 snaps. For an offense.
30 snaps.
30!
They've scored 26 points over the last 3 weeks.
Yikes.
That's how bad it is.
Yikes.
And that's probably most of them is field goals.
And no wonder Myers
that
wants
might be
to
four
leave.
Field goals.
I saw that Chiefs game. They were pretty brutal.
Holler.
Now, if I remember right, just to prop up your confidence, Ira, the first four possessions, Kansas City scored 80-plus yard touchdown drives. First four possessions. Oh. 80-plus yard touchdown drives each possession.
There's
first
no surprise
four.
That Myers wants out. He wants out.
Yeah, I would too.
And he's having fun with it. It's not like he's like stomping his feet.
Yeah, he's not being
We've been so focused on the pass rusher that this guy's sitting right there in front of Jason Light.
Well,
Dan Pompey says stand pat.
Yep.
I love Dan Pompey, but you know what? You're wrong, Dan.
Oh,
you're wrong.
That's Dan Pompey, your colleague at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a fellow selector, and senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Ira. Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember the name. Florida's Elite Restoration. We all know the name. Go to Google. Check out their 5-star reviews across the board. If you have water damage in your home, you call them first. They'll give you a free evaluation at your home with the best technology and true experts in the field. Florida's Elite Restoration. They're a licensed mold remediation specialist. You want to attack mold, you can't just find it and then get to it a year later. You're not going to be covered from your insurance company if you do that. They are the insurance experts because they've worked on the other side. They've worked for insurance companies for decades. Now they're helping homeowners for a decade, business owners as well, to get their properties restored, whether it be storm damage, fire, flood, mold, and get it done right and get the money that you have coming to you that the insurance companies don't want to give you, that they want to withhold as much as they possibly can get away with. You need an offensive coordinator. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them 24/7. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call, even if that's on a message. You know, if you get their answering system at 2 a.m. because you're calling right away, they're going to call you back very quickly. But mention Ira, mention Joe Bucks Fan. And if you need their services, if you need to sign up with them to get your work done after your free inspection, then you're going to get $500 back. Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
5-3 would feel like a real bummer, even though on paper, 5-3 is not a bad record, really, especially considering the injuries. But 5-3 would be really depressing going into a bye week.
Because you're losing to one of the worst teams in the league.
No, it would be a nightmare, Ira. Come on, don't even say that here. People don't want to hear that.
Well,
Ira,
you'd still be in first place technically, maybe. But
no, you would be. But we'll get into the game, and we'll have our picks coming up later. And Ira, you know, I wanted to wait to mention you know, the tragic death this week of Doug Martin, 36 years old.
36 years old.
A guy who the Bucks put on their all-time top 50
list.
He
made my top 50, Steve.
He made your top 50, two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, 2012 first-round pick, came into the league, took it by storm, and
that was a Mark Dominic pick, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Good pick by Dominic.
Came into the Greg Schiano era and, you know, had a couple of huge games.
Two big seasons. Big seasons.
Got hurt in his second season. Wasn't much in his third season. Maybe he wasn't right. We don't know. But in comes Dirk Cutter and Lovie Smith. 2015, Doug Martin's all of a sudden back, Pro Bowl caliber.
He ran with a lot of power, Steve, considering his stature.
Tremendous power. He got a ton of carries in college at Boise State, came to the Bucks, got a massive workload with Greg Schiano. He could catch the ball.
He was good after contact lately. Yeah. Good after contact.
He was just a really good running back, and he died allegedly in custody of Oakland police.
So now the story's come out, right, Steve?
And reports have come out that he was having drug issues, he was having
mental health issues,
visible mental health issues, a lot of problems. And, you know, Bucks fans knew from reading JoeBucksFan.com or listening to Steve Dumig, the late, great Steve Dumig right here on WDAE, that, you know, Martin had a sketchy years in Tampa with drug issues and other problems. And I'm not saying the Bucks were responsible, but it's unfortunate that of the 5 years he was here, or 6 years, actually, 6 years he was with the Bucks, they couldn't get that under control for him and they couldn't find a way to get him on a great path.
I'm trying to remember my interactions with him, Lee, because I've talked to him many times over the years in the locker room. Or after. He was shy. He was a little shy. Certainly didn't seek out the limelight, the interviews. Didn't seem comfortable, particularly in a big setting, you know, in front of a podium. I always liked him. But then, as Steve alluded to, you know, after those big years, you say, gee, the guy's not 33 years old. Well, what happened? He fell off the cliff. And then it appears that he just struggled with a lot of issues.
Tough questions, he would answer them. You could tell he didn't like it.
He'd smile.
Would smile on good questions. He didn't smile on bad questions.
Yeah, he had a great smile.
But even tough questions, he would answer them. I'll never forget, I was at that New Orleans game, the Christmas Day game, when he was a healthy scratch. And a few days later, the NFL announced that he blew a, you know, substance use policy whiz quiz. I talked to him after the game because that was a very important game, and that was one of those games, even though it was an important game, the story was Doug Martin.
2016.
Yep, so I just forgot the game. Like, I wasn't even at the game. My whole focus was Doug Martin.
That was Dirk Cutter's first season.
The guy you hate, the right tackle, had a fit on a plane going to Ireland from Boston, Gosner chairless, and he tried to get me thrown out of the locker room because I was asking questions about Doug Martin. But he talked to me after that, and he answered my questions. Stand-up guy for me, stand-up guy. But he clearly had issues. And Ira, did the NFL or the NFLPA let him down? Where is the support system? I mean, somebody obviously saw that he had issues. You know, he was in a rehab facility a couple times that we know of. Where was the NFL or NFLPA? Like, okay, you need some help. Let's hook you up with someplace, some...
It didn't look like he had much of a support system, Steve, in terms of family or the NFL.
I think family he did,
yeah,
but the NFL and NFLPA,
he did.
No.
You know, as long as we're sharing memories of Martin, I thought he was a great guy. He would talk, you know, was eager to accommodate.
Yes.
As far as talking to the media, always with a smile on your face, his face, like you said, Ira. A very affable kind of guy, but not super outgoing. And, you know, he seemed to handle stardom very well. You know, he came in, he was a superstar. Mm-hmm. We talk about Emeka Ebuka now. Doug Martin comes in, he's tearing up the league. Even had that big 200-something-yard game against the Raiders.
Yeah.
Rondé Barber talked about him on his WFLA show, said he was, because they were teammates, that was Barber's last year. He said he was a great teammate, and he was beloved in the organization when Barber was there, worked hard. But Barber said right on the air, he had problems. I'm not saying he didn't have problems off the field, issues, whatever. So when I hear that, I feel like, damn, you know, maybe the Bucks could have done more. Lee's talking about the NFLPA, but you're not going to be able to help somebody who doesn't want the help. Interesting guy, Martin. I remember meeting his mother at a game, and she's a former longtime prosecutor in California.
Wow.
A public figure. I believe she was a politician as well after her.
Probably knew Kamala Harris pretty well. I mean, in terms of the legal system.
It's a big state. I don't know.
It's a big state.
Different county, too. So.
But his mom was a lawyer. His sister was an elite athlete, elite college athlete, and interesting family, nice family. And he seemed to have a lot of support, but he did have problems here. I remember when it was 2017, I believe. 2016, sorry, 2016. Austin Seferian Jenkins had a big game in Atlanta. He was, of course, a troubled Bucks tight end who had a serious drinking problem and was arrested eventually.
Otherwise known as Austin Seferian Jackwagon. Yeah.
Second round pick.
Captain Morgan pose.
Taken right after Mike Evans, and he was eventually arrested. There was a video of him in the back of a Tampa.
Had to take a dump.
Cop car screaming that he had to take a dump. You can't make up this lost decade stuff. Seferian Jenkins is on Buccaneers Radio Network. TJ Reeves asked him, what did you do after you got home, after the plane ride, come back from Atlanta? He said, oh, you know, I was just hanging out. You know, I just like to hang out with Noah Spence and Doug Martin. And when I heard that at the time, knowing that ASJ had problems and Martin had problems, I was thinking,
and Spence did,
why is Noah Spence as a rookie hanging out with those guys? That has got to be a red flag, because rookies usually hang out together. They don't hang out with the veterans that have some problems. And Noah Spence eventually turned out had a lot of problems. There were a lot of rumors of drug problems with him and other things. And I don't know. But Martin, it's really, really sad. You know,
when you pull back and you look at the overview of some of those Buck teams and what happened to some of these people, it's incredible. With Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams, everything's different. Every story is different.
But there's a common denominator.
But Vincent Jackson, that came out of nowhere.
Well, his was CTE, wasn't it? His was CTE.
Then you got Mike Williams. He was doing some crazy stuff.
It was today or yesterday that Gerald McCoy was on Twitter, and he said, after Doug Martin passed, that makes five teammates I lost.
Jeez.
Yeah, Daniel Teonashim, whatever his name was. I don't remember how to pronounce it. But
what happened to him?
Well, he passed away. I don't know what the story was, but the way McCoy said it, it was almost as if something strange happened, but he passed away. He was only like 32 years old, edge rusher for the Bucks at the time.
Five teammates.
You don't foresee that. I mean,
no.
No, of course not.
Obviously, Doug Martin being 36, he last played with Chucky in Oakland in 2019. He didn't make it 10 years. That's why I asked about the NFL or NFLPA, that they let him down. Because, you know, almost, I mean, my gosh, it seems like yesterday the Bucks won a Super Bowl, and Doug Martin at the time, 2020, wasn't out of the league for a year. And right now he's dead.
It looked like he was going to be an elite back for a long time.
He did have a long career as running backs go. And he averaged over 4 yards a carry with John Gruden when he was out there with him. Yeah, maybe that's somebody you talk to, Ira. Maybe ask John Gruden about Doug Martin. He might have some interesting insight.
That's a good column.
Anyway, felt we had to mention was a really good guy. I do remember being at the Bucks used to do a little more community work outside of Tampa. Most of theirs is in Tampa now, but they were building fields in Clearwater, and they had donated.
So you rolled out of bed and showed up.
They had donated a bunch of money. I rolled over there to see what was going on. Your buddy, old buddy Roy Cummings, was there.
There you go.
Being a curmudgeon, I don't think he was too happy to be there for his assignment. But Doug Martin was one of the players out there playing with the kids. And he was great with the kids. I was talking to him. He was very loose. And
he always kind of seemed happy-go-lucky. I mean, you know, he wasn't depressed or anything.
Well, what I thought was interesting, given what we know now about Doug Martin, both as a player with the Bucks and afterwards, Greg Schiano crowed about how he cleaned up the locker room when he came here. The Glazers told me, clean up the locker room. And I did. Well, look who he brought in. Doug Martin.
Just to be fair, I don't know if he was a
locker room. But he was a good teammate.
Probably.
He was always good with me. I can't speak to what he was like behind closed doors. I can only speak to what he was like with me. He was fantastic with me.
He's probably got two of the three biggest rushing seasons in Buck history.
Probably.
I believe he does.
Yeah, that's why
With James Wilder at the other one.
I always respect when a player is willing to talk to me if I have questions that are uncomfortable. And I really respect people that do that.
Sage, I was told that the Buccaneers have a special honoring of Doug Martin planned for the next home game against the Patriots. The details are not out on that yet, but they are going to be doing something for Martin at the next home game, which I think which I think is totally appropriate. He delivered a couple of super, super memorable seasons for the Bucs, and we have remembered him
here. You go in the back of the Buck media guide. And when they show the records, he shows up there.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up.
Before we get to our picks, Iron, it's a big deal because you're 7-0. I don't know anybody who's 7-0 so far picking Bucks games this year. So good for you. Lee and I are 5-2. But that game against the Lions, it's in the rearview mirror at this point, but it was really something when fans saw all the ridiculous, strange calls in that game. New York stepping in to overturn things, them not getting things right, flags getting picked up. But one big play in that game, late in the first half, was Baker Mayfield threw a ball, first down ball, a little bit off to Kate Otten, who makes a one-handed grab, pulls it in, and in rushes Arthur Maulet, however you pronounce his
name.
And
they wrestle.
And they wrestle the ball to the turf, and it's unclear who's got possession. It was ruled a catch.
And Otten still seemed to have a hand on the ball.
Yeah, he sort of had it cradled in. I've watched it slow motion on the all 22 million different ways. What looks like the cornerback holding the ball, he's actually pulling on Otten's arm. You can tell that his fingers are on Otten's arm, not the ball. And whatever, Dean Blandino, who people know, the Fox rules analyst, the former VP of officiating for the NFL, he was on Sirius, and he very much detailed, hey, if I had to just watch the play and decide who caught it, I would choose, because you have to pick somebody, I would choose the cornerback. However, it was ruled a catch, and Blandino said there was absolutely no evidence to overturn that, and it was overturned. And this is Dean Blandino. So, very frustrating. And
you have to have clear evidence.
No clear evidence. Yeah.
Clear.
Whenever I hear Dean Blandino's name, I cannot help but speak about the story again. Steve and I are at the combine. We went to a specific watering hole. And here comes the Cowboys, Jerry Jones Cowboys bus, party bus. Who gets off the bus? Jerry Jones, Jay Glazer, Dean Blandino. And that was when Blandino was running the referees.
Wow.
He's out getting drunk
the
with
Holy
Jerry Jones.
Trinity. The Holy Trinity.
And the kicker was, when he went back on the bus, Steve tried to bum rush his way on the bus, and they grabbed him.
All right. We don't have much time, Sage.
All right.
So I'm going to give my pick. Look, New Orleans has played tough all year. Everybody tough. They've won me some money, especially against the Bills when they held that to a 12-point loss, but it was much closer than that. Very late touchdown by the Bills. So they played New England, who is, you know, pretty dominant in some of these victories. They hosted New England 2 weeks ago. They lost by 6 points.
Who'd they beat?
They beat the Giants.
Everybody beat the Giants. Okay. All right.
But they got blown out by the Seahawks, but they lost to San Francisco by 5, which was a game they should have won, and they lost to Arizona. Arizona got a little cute, and Spencer Rattler, their quarterback, was driving for the tie or the win and came up short at the 5-yard line. So they played a lot of tough games, and I think this is going to be a close game. Bucks have not had a lot of success against the Saints for whatever reason. Not saying they haven't beaten them, but they haven't been smacking them around left and right all the time, and it's quite a rivalry. So I'm going to put the Bucks without Mike Evans and without Bucky Irving. I'm going to give them a 21-14 victory, one score.
I'm kind of with Steve on this one, Lee. I think it'll be a competitive game. I don't see a Buck blowout. They're not going to lay 50 on the Saints in New Orleans like last year. But I think the Bucks find a way. I think this is a game where they find a way. I think Mayfield will bounce back. He's not going to have two games like that in a row. I don't think he will. Not at this stage in his career. The Saints tend to keep things close, but they're not a good football team, Lee. They're just not. On either side of the ball, the Bucks are a better team, whether they're battered or not. And I think Mayfield will have better protection than he did against Aiden Hutchinson and the boys Monday night. So I'm thinking 23-20 visitors. And I'm putting my record on the line. Bucks win 23-20. What do you got, Lee?
All right. You guys are pansies. Just like Detroit, they're raring to go. The Bucks walked into a hornet's nest. As I predicted, they were, unfortunately, the Bucks were going to lose.
And
Detroit.
I had them losing by 13. Yeah, yep.
Same situation here. Bucks are going to be PO'd. You could tell Bowles was PO'd from the minute that game was over with. Offensive coordinator, he's PO'd. They lost the game. You could tell the Bucks players are PO'd in the locker room. They won't have a blowout, but I predict Saints fans, by the end of the third quarter, are going to be sucking down hurricanes on Bourbon Street, trying to wash their sorrows away.
Why are they going to win this game? Why? How are they going to win this game?
They're going to score points, and they're going to stomp on them defensively. The Bucks are. They're going to stomp on the Saints with their defense. 27-17 Bucks.
Ira Lee called you a pansy.
I'm a 7-0. I'm a 7-0 pansy.
It's going to be close. They're going to be careful. No, they're going to go out swinging. They're going to come out swinging. Now, granted, they may not have the power that Detroit has because of the injuries, but they'll get the job done.
The Bucks certainly don't have a history this year of smacking teams around by 10 or 14 points.
I agree with Lee. I think they'll come out swinging. I think they'll be mad. I just think they're shorthanded, and they're also on a short week, back-to-back road games.
That's why I said only 27
and,
points.
I just think it's going to be a little bit more difficult. I mean, the Saints have a new head coach. They're not a team that's imploding. They're playing
Any
hard.
Any chance Grizzard's out of balance again with the 50 passes? That ain't happening.
No, I think the Bucks will be able to run the ball. I mean, if they can't run the ball on the Saints, they got more problems than we think they do. But it sounds like Michael Jordan is going to play right guard again, and he didn't play so great in this
apparently
last game.
He didn't play very well Monday night.
The whole line didn't play well. Even Wirfs didn't play well.
But he should play a little bit better.
It wasn't a great game for Barton either, Lee.
Oh, he got blown up a couple times. Yeah. Bull rush.
As Lee likes to say, Emmitt Smith line, blowed up.
Blowed up. Emmitt Smith, blowed up.
But a critical game, Ira. They cannot lose this game. You smacked me around for saying opening day was a must win. This this is a must win. You fall to the Saints here for no good reason.
Well, it might be a must win for seeding or something. I mean,
what do you mean for seeding?
Are you saying they're not going to make the playoffs if they lose this game?
What I'm saying is, if you don't beat the Saints now, why should I think you're going to go beat New England, the Rams, and Buffalo?
Fair.
I mean, Todd Bowles has had these midseason swoons. Supposedly, they're over it. It's not going to happen again. This is an absolute can't-lose game.
Especially because the bye week's following. How are you going to feel going into the bye week? New England, you know, should be a little bit of a challenge. I think the Bucs are better. You know, I think Mayfield's better than Drake May at this point. But we're all picking the Bucs. We're all picking the Bucs.
Mayfield versus Spencer Rattler? You can't lose that game.
And Lee's more forceful than the two of us. He says the Bucs.
Lee's got him by 10. I got him by 7.
You got him a comfortable win, Lee. A comfortable win.
I got him by an uncomfortable 7-point win. You're a pansy over there with your 3-point
lead. I got McLaughlin kicking a field goal at the end. That's the Bucks' MO. That's how they do it.
Go at the end.
That's how they do it.
Is Chris Braswell going to show out in this game?
No.
Are we going to see Abuka back healthy and tearing it up?
No.
He's not going to be healthy?
He's still not 100%. He's just not.
Now, Bowles, I think
Rashad White could have a good game here.
You were there. Bowles said if anybody's in doubt, they're not playing.
Yes.
Is Abuka in doubt with his injury?
Well, I thought what Todd Bowles said is if they're healthy, they're going. They're going to play.
He said if they're iffy. Yeah.
And he also said if they're in doubt, they're not.
Right. Your guy, Rashad White, needs to get
Stop
about.
Stop calling him my guy just because he's on my fantasy team.
He needs
team.
To get about 16 carries, and let's see what he can do.
Just because my record's 4-3 in the league, and you're in the toilet.
I'm 2-5. I'm in the toilet. Nobody will trade with me. What am I? Jerry Jones? Nobody will trade me, anybody?
We are out of here. Go,
you know, wait a minute. There's a bye week next week, but we're not going bye-bye. We'll show up.
We will be here. We'll see you next week. Go, Bucks.